Welcome to Beating Cancer Daily. Beating stage 4 cancer for 30 years still takes my breath away every time I say it. I'm Saren, founder of the Comedy Cures Foundation, and I hope you'll join me for just a few minutes daily for the next 365 days so we may laugh, learn, maybe cry a little as we live our best days beating cancer daily together.
You are not going to believe this, but you may hear laughing in the background. I think this is unprecedented at a scientific conference, but I am having a cancer pajama party. We are literally in our pajamas. I am in San Diego in a hotel room with a cancer sister, believe it or not. And we are in our pajamas and we just wanted to do the podcast. And we don't have time to go to a podcast studio. So we are literally on the bed surrounded by pillows. Hopefully the quality of sound is good. And we are doing this. You are part of our pajama party. And when we told the big scientific mucky mucks at the ACR conference, the American Association for Cancer Research in San Diego, that we were actually going to record the daily podcast in our pajamas from our bed, they said this has to be an annual occurrence now, that we have to do this every year. We have to do a pajama party episode. So I'm just inviting you back year after year, God willing, to be part of this episode. Now, I have such a special person joining me on my bed in our pajamas. We took a picture just so you could actually see this is really how we're doing this. And she is a phenomenal human being. You know her from the Today Show. You know her as an NBC correspondent and a longtime medical reporter. She's also a cancer survivor and now a new advocate, probably one of our most passionate advocates in cancer right now, because she sat on the set of the Today Show with all the people you know and actually resigned. I don't mean to laugh, but 8 weeks ago, she resigned. And the reason why is because she wants to help us all who are living with cancer, particularly breast cancer right now, but then all cancers, actually have hope and have a new way to beat this disease and not even get this disease. So I want to introduce you to my dear pajama party friend, Kristen Dahlgren.
I am so excited to be here and in my pajamas. And I also need to let you know that we just met in person 4 days ago.
I let strangers into my bedroom. I'm just letting you know. I let strangers into my hotel room.
Yeah. So now we're roomies and we're in bed together. We do have two separate beds. I need to point this out.
We're not telling you who snores and who doesn't.
Oh, gosh. Well, my husband will tell you it's me. And when I was coming and he said, you're going to be rooming with a woman that you've never met before. You can't do that. Kristen, you snore like a wild animal.
I didn't give her up. I didn't say it was her. I said one of us snored. She confessed, not me. It hasn't been that bad, though. But actually, why are two grown women who never met before staying in a room? Because we both represent nonprofits and we didn't want to use our nonprofits' money to put us in our own overpriced hotel rooms. So I was like, hey, let's just room together. Are you okay with that? And that's how this pajama party podcast episode idea came into existence, because I really want to help amplify why she quit the Today Show. Everyone's walking around this conference going, why would you do that? And wait till you hear why.
Well, and it's not, well, I am crazy, but it's not that I'm totally crazy. That shows you just how much I believe in what I'm doing in accelerating breast cancer vaccines. I believe in the science that it's there. And I believe in this community because I was so moved when I learned that breast cancer vaccines are in development, that they are already in phase two trials in many cases, and nobody knew about it. I'm a survivor. I'm a medical reporter. And I had no idea that this was even available. So when I first had a conversation with Dr. Nora Desis at the University of Washington in October, so 6 months ago, and learned about the science and that this is a tipping point for cancer vaccines, in particular for breast cancer vaccines, I knew that I had to get the word out. And she also had this idea that all of these amazing scientists are working in their own silos, but if they came together, we could accelerate it that much more quickly. Think about what we did for the COVID-19 vaccine and how quickly that came to being. We took 10 years of science, accelerated it into 8 months. And so we started thinking that the same could be done for cancer vaccines because they do have the knowledge about the immune system, how to create an immune response, which proteins to target in different cancers. And now we have the vaccine technology, the mRNA, the DNA technology to deliver these vaccines. And so this is the moment. And I thought, I need to do something about this. It is not acceptable that we're all still living with this disease, that we're still getting it, that we're having these barbaric treatments in many cases. And while they are life-saving, they change your life. I went through chemotherapy and then a double mastectomy and radiation treatments, and my body is forever changed. And if there is a way instead to train people's immune systems to fight the cancer, that gives us more options for success, for hope, for life with cancer and fighting cancer without these really difficult treatments. And so I knew I had to do something. It may sound totally crazy.
It is crazy. No, do you understand? Like, she was a reporter on the Today Show 8 weeks ago and then gets motivated to take on the entire cancer industry and just say, I'm putting a movement together. I am putting a collective of the top genius scientists together because we are going to fast forward this opportunity so that we can give more people longer lives and better lives and less cancer complications and less cancer diagnosis. And I just want to understand, how are you doing now? Like, you went through cancer treatment at the height of the pandemic. What's happening?
I'm doing well. I mean, I'm really lucky. I had incredible care. My treatments worked. My radiation was scheduled to begin March of 2020. And so that changed everything for all of us in the world. And I went through that last part of my treatment. I couldn't have any support. I couldn't bring anyone to the treatments with me. I had some of my major surgeries without anyone being able to go to the hospital with me. And I know there's a lot of people out there who went through the same thing and had to do this alone.
I can't even imagine. Honestly, I threw a chemo comedy party. My first chemo treatment, April 1999. So not only did I have friends and family, but I invited all the friends and family of the people in the infusion center and the doctors and the nurses and the phlebotomists and the pharmaceutical reps to literally come with me and hear 6 hours of comedy. And they were running and treating patients and coming back and laughing and being part of my party. And I can't imagine the solitude that you, if that was how you went through cancer treatment, how you mentally held that together.
Well, and think about it. I couldn't see anyone's faces. Everybody was masked. So not only are you alone going through these treatments, but then your care team, you can't even see their face. There was no bell for me to ring at the end of my radiation because they were so concerned that if I touched the rope and someone else touched the rope, we could have a super spreader event. And so it was a very different experience. And I say I went through it alone, but really I had such incredible support from this community, and that's made all the difference. And that's why what I'm doing is so important to me right now.
So you were really public about this, and a lot of people choose to be very private, but you chose to go on the air and let the world know. So you got support from all your viewers?
Support from viewers and then just support from friends and friends of friends. Let me tell you this quick story. When I learned that I most likely had cancer, so I was BI-RADS 5 when they did the mammogram, I got a call from Andrea Mitchell, a colleague of mine at NBC, almost immediately when she learned what I was going through. Within minutes, she had connected me with her doctor, and then she offered to drive to where I was covering a hurricane when I learned that I probably had cancer.
Because we all are covering hurricanes when we're diagnosed with cancer. It's just like, I was just in a hurricane and they gave me the bad news.
Yeah, my life is a little different sometimes. But Andrea, this lovely and world famous correspondent for NBC, said, do you want me to drive down to where you're staying at the airport hotel in Norfolk, Virginia, and spend the night with you so you're not alone? People love to be in hotel rooms with me sharing my cancer.
She's really pretty and she's funny and sweet. No. And then I'm just going to say something that might embarrass her. But yesterday I was overhearing a conversation because I'm literally in the next bed. And she offered to do the same for a friend who was just diagnosed. And let me tell you, Kristen is so busy right now. When she came out on television and said that she was going to leave in order to fast forward this vaccine technology, the world has come at her. Advocates, celebrities, media, doctors, pharma, like everyone is trying to talk to her because they believe that this is the exact right time to push this forward, and that it takes somebody who's agnostic, somebody that doesn't have a financial interest or an IP interest in the property, somebody that just really passionately wants to see this happen with everybody working together. So everybody's trying to help, but it is literally overwhelming. I'm with her experiencing this. And she was just like, I will drop everything and come to you and stay with you. So our community does pay it forward. We know what it's like to be in that hot seat. And it's almost not our duty, but it's like our honor, I think, to really just support our sisters and brothers who come through this experience.
Absolutely. And so many people are asking me how they can get involved. And the way I see it, this is a global movement. We all need to spread the word that this is a unique moment in time. We talked with Dr. Barker from the AACR yesterday, and I asked her, how do you feel about this moment in time? She said, this is the most hopeful I have ever been in my life. And let that sink in. The most hopeful time for cancer research.
Wait a second. When you say that, I got chills, right? And I'm like, I'm hearing like, oh, like angels singing and symphonies playing, because to hear one of the most brilliant minds who has had one of the most impactful careers in cancer and pushing cancer forward, to say to two cancer survivors, this is the most hopeful time. We will make the most progress now. And there's so many reasons, because of technology, the fact that people do want to collaborate in the science world. This movement is really shifting people, not just in vaccine, but overall. Stand Up to Cancer was one of the first that said, hey, we're going to collaborate here and we're going to get solutions to big cancer problems. So we both had chills.
Yeah, no, it was an incredible moment. And I just look at the research that's coming out of this right now and the hope that it's giving.
Wait a second. Honestly, we don't really understand half the things we hear in the sessions because these scientists are so brilliant. We wait for the recap for dummies and then we understand what everyone's talking about. So we don't want to sound like we are that smart. We're struggling here, but they do know that we are not scientists and they are really trying to help us process this information.
Well, and I'm coming at this as a journalist. I'm not a scientist. And so I've been asking since I first learned about vaccine research and the potential for vaccines in cancers. And I've asked the question, am I missing something? Is this really real? Is this happening? And to a T, every single brilliant scientist we are talking about. So the potential of vaccines right now is enormous, and the field is moving together. And this is the moment. This is the tipping point. We now have AI going into these studies, and we have this increased understanding of the immune system that is going to make the difference. And so I'm not saying this, the scientists are saying this is an incredible moment in time. And if I can do anything to sort of kick it over the edge, to spread the word, to let people know what is out there, and to create a global movement where we say it is unacceptable for us to be going through this when there are better ways out there, and when we can just, with our voices, stand up and say, let's do this together. Let's open up our pocketbooks, whatever we are able to give, or let's just spread the word on our social networks. Every single person can make a difference here. And that's the one thing I learned as a journalist. I have watched single people change the world and create these movements and get others involved.
Well, I think we're motivated by our daughters too, because I would never want anyone to have to go through cancer treatment, let alone my own child. So I think we are fueled by the fact that my daughter is much older, but your daughter's just turning 8. I know everything about her family now from our living together in this hotel room. Anyway, but I think that's a big motivator. And I have a joke for you. I have so many jokes for you about vaccines. I'm like so excited. I'm like a little kid waiting here to tell you all my jokes. But here's one. Ready? Got polio? Me neither. Thanks, science.
Right? And cancer can be the next polio. We are working on
polio that. Vaccine. Right. Not that we're all getting polio.
No, no, but who gets polio anymore? Nobody, because of vaccines. Vaccines have traditionally been the most powerful scientific advance in healthcare in the world. And now we know that cancer has an immune response. And so our immune systems can fight the cancer with help. And I went, okay, so vaccines, people are like, in
well, wait. I'm going to say that there are going to be people who are anti-vaxxers, and God bless you, everyone make their own decision. So I don't want to get into an anti-vax discussion right now, but I do have a joke. Why do anti-vaxxers hate vaccine jokes?
Why?
They never get them. And I am not taking a position on anti-vaxxers, but you got to admit that's a funny joke.
That is a good one. And I wanted to head off this discussion because for me, this is not political. This is not anything. This will never be a government mandated vaccine. These are treatment vaccines to begin with. Hopefully someday these are preventative vaccines, but you will never be forced. Cancer is not, as everybody listening knows, cancer is not an infectious disease. You can't get it from sitting next to me. But if you choose to have a cancer vaccine, that is your prerogative. And so what I'm doing is just accelerating the science so those are available.
There's a great study that I read in the Journal of Health Communication. It's a May 2018 article by Moyer, Gasse, Robinson, and McKnight called The Role of Humor in Messaging About the MMR Vaccine. And here's basically what the journal article said. Results revealed that satirical humor messaging reduced vaccine hesitancy. Is that incredible that I found a research study about humor and vaccines? So, Kristen, you need me to bring the funny to the cancer vaccine.
One of the many reasons you're here. I just want to know what you Googled to find that study. Because that is your magic superpower, one of many, to be able to find a study about humor and vaccines.
We're researchers. So I had to pull something out of my hat to impress her. She is from the Today Show. I just have a podcast. We are the number one cancer survivor podcast. So I had to do something to wow you, I think.
I am super impressed. And that I already brought you on board, but now I'm keeping you because the messaging around this is going to be very important as we develop these. And the one thing we haven't talked about yet, but that I just want people to know, is, so we're here, we're talking about it, but there are these brilliant scientists who are also on board this mission. And so I mentioned Dr. Desis that I talked to, and she was saying that they're in their silos. Let's bring everyone together. So we, within weeks, maybe days.
Not we, she. Honestly, this has been on her back for 8 weeks. I'm just like a freeloader that gave her a hotel room. No, I'm just kidding. No, really. Go on. Tell them who's involved.
Yeah. So we have Larry Norton from Memorial Sloan Kettering and Beth Mittendorf from Dana-Farber and Tom Budd, who has an amazing vaccine he's working on for triple negative breast cancer at Cleveland Clinic.
Hold on. Woo woo. Triple negative. That's what I had 31 years ago. They didn't even know it was triple negative. Now we know. Now there's vaccine going for it. I'm a little partial to that one. I'm just letting you know.
Well, and that's a really important one as we're developing things, because it is such an aggressive cancer, such a difficult one to treat. And so many of the studies that I'm looking at initially funding are going to be for triple negative. We've got doctors from MD Anderson involved and Stanford. It is this amazing collective. And every few weeks they come together to kind of share their ideas, talk about their research. And I'm like a fly on the wall and just amazed to listen to how they talk about this and how they are sharing information to move this forward. Some of them already have their research funded. They just want to be a part of this and a part of moving it forward. And we've been having meetings. We want to bring in pharma. We want to bring in the government. Get everybody together. The smartest brains in the room. This is how it's been done throughout history to get something really big. This moonshot, or as I like to call it, a moon landing, is bringing all the big brains together. And I'm just going to be putting them in a room and saying, fix it. And how can I help you? And how can I move this forward?
Well, even at this convention, AACR, it's a buzz. There are 58,000 oncologically focused people that are members of this organization. 22,000 are here, more listening online. But every conversation we've walked into with the heads of all of these different entities that are here, everyone is saying, Kristen, right time. Kristen, you can do this. I mean, we believe this is the right time. It's so exciting. Now, you called this project the Pink Eraser Project. And I have to tell you, I love swag. And she's giving out pink erasers.
And you know what? The name was really hard to come up with. And vaccines really are going to be applicable to other solid tumor cancers. And what we learn in this search for breast cancer vaccines is going to make such a difference in all parts of oncology research, of immunology research, and really going to move the ball forward for all of us. My dad's going through colorectal cancer right now. So, you know, I am also focused on making sure that no other family needs to go through this, any type of cancer. I had a stepson who had ALL when he was a teenager. Cancer impacts so many families and can be so devastating. And so if I can just do my little part, I'm going to do everything I can with all of my power. And I'm going to gather the greatest, greatest people to have slumber parties with, whatever it takes, sleeping my way into.
That has a weird connotation. Okay. No. Actually, she's making this not only a movement, but it's a lot of fun. And we hope that you get involved. There's a website,
PinkErasersProject.org. We're going through a rebrand now. So very soon, hopefully by the time you're listening, we have our new website up and you can check it out. You can donate. You can find out the information about our scientists. You can volunteer. You can reach out to me. You can tell me your story, what you're going through. And together we are going to get this done. So please stay hopeful, because this is an amazing time. And let's give you the timeline, because without what we're doing, the doctors are telling me, oh, we will have cancer vaccines. We'll have them in 25, 30 years. If we are able to accelerate this, we could have them to market in 5 to 10 years or less. It may be different vaccines for different subtypes of breast cancer. They're also working on pancreatic cancer vaccines. I know about lung cancer vaccines. Melanoma vaccines are in development. So this could happen very quickly. So hang on. You always talk about staying alive for the next big thing and making it to the next big thing. This is the next big thing. And it's out there. It's coming. We are doing it.
This is amazing. And I want to say that that doesn't mean that you couldn't participate in a clinical trial sooner.
Right.
We're good hoping point, yeah. to get clinical trials up way faster, but we're talking about having it commercially available in your hospital the way you would get a flu vaccine. You know what I mean? But just to be in clinical trial, that could even happen sooner.
Absolutely.
Depending on how quickly the money is raised for the scientists and how quickly they can prove that it's safe and that it's ready to go to people. And then once they can do that, then it can get sped up. There are certain processes within the regulatory system where if something is just so dynamically helpful, it can get sped up. But even just to participate in a clinical trial, you can't get a vaccine or a drug to market without brave, unbelievably kind people who want to see the science move forward of all sizes, all shapes, all colors, all walks of life around the globe, really wanting to participate in this breakthrough. So if you're somebody that does want to participate in a clinical trial about vaccines, then reach out to Kristen at Pink Eraser Project and put your name on the list. And when it's time, they will reach out to you. I'm so inspired by my friend and my pajama party mate. I think I found the best vaccine joke ever. Now, I have a dumb one and I have a great one. So I'm going to tell you the great one first. And here it goes. Why isn't holy water used in vaccines?
Why isn't holy water used in vaccines?
Because you can't take the Lord's name in vain.
That is a good one. Oh, I love it.
Now, that's a joke that if you see it written, it's funny because the word vain and vain are spelled differently, but you get it once you hear it. Isn't that clever?
That is a good one.
I wish I had written it. I didn't write it. I didn't. I found it. I don't know. I'm going to laugh like all day in my head from that. Every time a scientist is being so smart about vaccines, I'm just going to go, ha, 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 ha.
I dare you to get on the microphone at one of these sessions of the big brains and tell that joke.
No, I purposely got a bunch of jokes for you because if you start a meeting with a joke, it just gets everybody laughing and it's really fun. So I made a collection of jokes to give you.
Okay.
Now, that one I just found online. A couple of the other ones I got jokes by Baba Mail. I have no idea who Baba Mail is, but for some reason, Baba Mail thought it would be a good idea to write jokes about vaccines. So I just want to give credit. I did not write these. I love you.
Wait, can I just say one more thing? Because I know that your global listeners, you're in 71 countries. So this isn't just happening in the US. And I want to make that really clear. I am so motivated by what's happening in the UK right now, where the British government partnered with BioNTech, who did the COVID vaccines with Pfizer for cancer vaccines. They are giving out 10,000 cancer vaccines beginning as early as this fall as part of trials. And the head of BioNTech said that we need a collaboration just like COVID-19 in order to push cancer vaccines forward. And I was so blown away that someone like that is saying the exact same thing that I'm saying and really recognizing that this is a moment to do this. And so these developments are going on in other countries. I'm trying to take this global to work with other countries and companies that are based all around the world in order to get this done for everybody.
Don't you just love her? Don't you want her to be your BFF and your pajama party? Wait, maybe we can auction you off, like for people who donate above a certain level of money.
I get in my pajamas and go sit with them and podcast.
You can win a pajama party supervised by me. I'm not going to say do it alone. If you donate to push this movement forward, you know what we should do? We should have, like, if somebody donates an extraordinary amount of money, but then for everybody that can just afford a dollar, you know, $5, we should have like a raffle where we pick a name out and then we come and do a pajama party podcast with somebody that is in the lower level of donating because every dollar counts.
I would do that. And I've done the math, my very rudimentary math on this. If everyone in the US donated $3, we would get there. And it may seem like an arbitrary number, but that really is people giving like $3 or $4 if every single person did. And when you think about it that way, every dollar does count.
And the thing about this is it does go in iterations. It's actually in stages. As the doctors progress, more money is needed. So there's this first level, and they're pretty far ahead in some of the vaccines.
Yeah, right now, all of these scientists are bringing us what they think is their best hope for a vaccine, and we're just going to be supporting the ones that are proven concepts, are already in the pipeline, and are getting further along, and we're going to do this.
Yay! I'm so excited. And in the interim, depending on how much money we raise, we're going to have a lot of pajama party podcasts. I just made this up. Like, honestly, we were not even thinking that we were going to do it, but maybe it's a fun way for us to raise money for the doctor's research.
We'll do it. I mean, look, I quit my job. I've done crazier things than have pajama parties to raise money. But yeah, I mean, I am dedicated to this cause. And if it takes Saren and I going around in our pajamas.
We have to get better pajamas, though. They're okay. We're in okay pajamas. Very different styles. She's like silky and
really?
They're not really. And I'm pinky and I'm in like more traditional.
She has her name.
I'm on her pajamas because I don't want her to steal my pajamas. I've got my name on my pajamas. Anyway, I have one more joke for you. It's not my best. I gave you the best one before, but it's cute. It's actually very intellectual, this joke, but I just always love to bring humor and light and joy to whatever we do here at Beating Cancer Daily. And I'm just so honored that you tune in for these 365 crazy episodes. And if you didn't like this episode, listen to another one. They're very, very different. But the bottom line is this is great, great, great science. And this is an incredible person leading the charge. And her personality and passion are infectious. And I just hope that very soon we can come back to you and just report her progress. And yeah, I'm going to give you a joke. Ready? There's now a vaccine to make you better at geometry. Do you know what it's called?
What's it called?
Sorry, it's so bad when you laugh at your own jokes. It's called the Pythagorean serum.
God. I don't know about that one, but it did make me laugh.
Well, we teach you laugh anyway. So if you want to learn more about the Pink Eraser Project and see my delightful friend and pajama party mate, just go to pinkeraserproject.org. And if you want to just go to comedycures.org and hit the contact menu or go to the podcast section and record a message to us, we'd love to hear from you. So have a blessed day and I'll see you tomorrow. If you loved today's episode, then tell the world. Why? Because Beating Cancer Daily and our membership circle are both a listener and donor supported experience. So the more people you tell and the more people that join us, the more robust and interesting programs our nonprofit, the Comedy Cures Foundation, can bring to you throughout the year. I really want you to go to comedycures.org. And of course, I always want you to make a donation. It's tax deductible to the extent allowed by law. But what's super exciting is not only can you laugh and explore the comedy there, you can look at our membership levels and find the one that's great for you. And if you're feeling a little bit generous, gift one to a chemo brother or sister or to a caregiver that you just want to help them improve the quality of their day. Thanks so much. See you tomorrow. Guess what time it is? It's time for me to read the disclaimer. Beating Cancer Daily and the membership circle are not in lieu of medical advice,
or treatment. They are for entertainment purposes only. Please consult your healthcare team to review your best strategy. Thanks for listening.